This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Welcome to your Friday, June 27th edition of the show. Joined by my partner, John Martin. He's here. I'm here. No Brad Carson Day, but we're very happy that we got our man, King George, on the ones and twos. George, give yourself a round of applause. You know how much John and I enjoy having you here, and we appreciate you stepping up. Sounds like we're going to have you a couple days.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we look at that as a blessing, don't we, John?
Absolutely.
An absolute blessing. You know, there can be blessings in the small things, John.
That's right.
Just in terms of fact that we woke up this morning.
Emphasis on small.
That's right. The fact that those flowers out there, that sun, all growing, all still shining, ain't it?
Amen.
Right. And the fact that it doesn't matter if ESPN's saying you had a C-minus draft, because Coward's going to be a combination of Michael Jordan, Kawhi Leonard, and Kobe Bryant.
I mean, so, I wouldn't stop there, but that's a good start.
ESPN, Franklin goes screw itself with this little C-minus grade for the Grizzlies draft. Now, Grizzlies did pick two more guys last night. We will get all into that. We'll get very serious.
Yes.
About the draft analysis and breakdown. We'll do it all here today, and I'm glad to do it with my man John Martin and George.
What if I told you I've already talked to one of the Grizzlies' second-round picks from last night?
Oh, you've been working.
How about that?
Look at you.
Didn't know it at the time. Didn't know that when we were speaking that he would go on to be a future Memphis Grizzly, but I can tell you that I was just blown away by his character. I mean, honestly, and I say that full well knowing that he went to Tennessee and graduated from there and spent all 4 years there.
Were you blown away by it to the same degree that Norlander was blown away by Coward?
I don't think anybody could be blown away that much.
Just making sure.
And then you can see the news, like you mentioned today, Cedric Coward has chosen a jersey number. Number 23.
Woo! Woo! Now, well, hold up. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing.
You're getting
what you were talking about.
You're shaking a little ass. But you're just thinking about Jordan.
Let me calm down.
You're just thinking about Chicago.
He just broke that news for me.
He watches.
I like that.
He watches Last Dance every chance he gets. George.
He goes.
It has been on TV a lot lately.
He's got it downloaded on his phone.
Even better.
And he studies it.
Even better.
Every single second.
So, look. He's got the jersey and the killer instinct of Jordan. He's got the passing ability of Magic. He's got the jumper of Ray Allen. He's got the wingspan of Kawhi. He's got the defense and rebounding of Rodman. What am I missing? He got the IQ of LeBron. Does that about sum it up for y'all?
Yeah.
The number 11 pick in the draft, folks. So some of y'all need to get control of yourself. All right, David Thorpe, we're looking at you, man. Because I'm going to be real with you, because somebody got to be. If you had vision like that, your ass would be working in the front office.
I don't know. I think putting 23 on it just tops it.
Is it?
Yes, man.
It is nuts.
And then we won't even get it in summer league? Will we or not? To be addressed? TBD?
Yeah. Did Michael Jordan play in Summer League? I don't think so. I don't think he did. Now, was there a Summer League? No.
I was going to say, did they have
But
a
he didn't
league?
Play in it.
I don't think they had.
Whatever know, Jordan did, John. We're doing. All right? Right. If he played, we're playing. If he didn't, we're not. All right? We don't care about the circumstances.
Did Kobe play in Summer League?
I doubt it, bro. I doubt it would have been around.
Okay.
I feel maybe. It's close. It feels like that's about when it would have.
Yeah.
But I don't remember hearing Kobe Summer.
Well,
like
were we watching then? No, that's the thing about it. It wasn't like the NBA was brought. You know,
there used to be like they used to write stories about this stuff. Like,
and then we had it in Orlando for a while. Seemed like
right.
And that changed. You know, we'd be watching Summer League games on in Orlando. Wow. And
now 2004.
There you go.
So a little later. So that was the first year of the Vegas Summer League.
Okay.
So
oh, yeah.
No.
We see what I mean.
No, we're not playing Summer League. Kobe didn't do it. Jordan didn't do it. We're not doing it.
All right.
So,
well, this Summer League team ain't going to be nearly as fun
no.
as when we first started.
Well,
out.
Look, it's going to have some dogs on it that I feel very confident about.
He's still going to be coaching some dogs.
Yep. We'll get into all of that today here on the show as the Grizzlies end up making both picks. There was a trade, but they ended up making both picks in yesterday's second round of the NBA draft. No bigs. We thought they might target a big. They targeted a wing and a guard, right? Like, that's kind of what they ended up doing. A Memphian was drafted.
Happy for him.
In a great situation. Jones goes 38 to the Indiana Pacers.
A little higher than some had him.
Definitely.
Which I love for him.
Definitely.
His family was there last night.
I'm assuming that, you know, the Halliburton injury is going to clear some runway for him to have an opportunity there early on. I feel great about that situation for Cam Jones. If you go through the list, man, the list of Memphians that have heard their name, and I'm talking about native Memphians, right? Not Tigers, not guys that moved here later in life, but like native Memphians that have heard their names called, it's not as long as you would think.
Oh, no.
You know, it's actually pretty short, which goes to show you how damn hard it is to hear to for that to happen. Even if you're a second round guy, they're going to be a two way, whatever the case may be, it's very difficult. I mean, I believe he's only the fourth Memphis native to be drafted since 2014.
Cool.
Campaign.
Yeah.
Jarnell.
Kennedy.
Cam.
Cool.
Those are the, there's a lot of guys when you go down there, like, man. They get drafted. They didn't. They went undrafted. You know, Jeremiah, undrafted. Jalen Crutcher, undrafted. Like,
Campaign was lottery, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's the difference.
Yeah.
From those other three.
Yeah. If you narrow it down to first round, I mean, you're really getting. I mean, then I think before him, it might have been Elliott Williams in 2010. Not many. So Cam Jones in very elite company just by having his name called last night as a native Memphian. So
congrats to him and his family.
Yeah, very, very happy for him. And you know, maybe over the summer, we get a chance to catch up with him. You know, that's one thing we unfortunately have not gotten the chance to do. You know, he's a Memphian. We've been watching for a long time. We've never had him on the show. I tried to get him last year, but it unfortunately didn't work out. But hopefully, you know, we'll be able to do that this summer at some point or before the season starts. Big show today. Anthony Sane's going to join us at 11:25. We'll ask him what we're missing in terms of, you know, player comps. I mean, I think we kind of hit the gamut there. Maybe there's one that slipped through the cracks, though.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that with him, get his thoughts on what the Grizz did last night, where they sit going into 25-26. And then at 1:25, we also got some news. Dane Danger didn't get the waiver, and he's gone. He's moving on. He's playing summer league.
Went on and said bye bye too.
Yeah, it was like all wrapped up in one night, nice and tidy box. There's not going to be this prolonged legal fight. I mean, we've talked about that. Nobody's winning those cases.
I'm just going to say here, credit to Jason Munns and Parthu Padjai, because those guys, the two B writers they're working, they said from the get go the chances at this. And I know we went kind of back and forth a little, you know, hey, maybe this is a little better than we thought originally. Those guys from the get-go have reported this was going to be a long shot. NCAA would have to essentially go against precedent. So
right,
they've been on it since the get-go, both of them.
Exactly.
Won't give them the credit they deserve.
Exactly.
Because it ended up that way.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there would be, you know, that legal fight that would take place, but I think you see how many unsuccessful.
Everybody else going down, bro.
Like, you're just wasting money, right, in that legal fight. So he's got a chance there. I think he's with the Heat, Miami
like
Heat
it.
Summer League. So, like, I mean, got a chance, man, got a chance. Hopefully he'll have a, you know, a good couple of weeks out there and can find his way onto a two-way. But we'll talk to Parthu Padjai about that, all of that, at 1:25.
Spotlight squarely on Aaron Bradshaw, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And
I was watching him closely. I was telling Jeff that at the camp. We're going to Penny gonna have to pull that mean streak out of him. I don't know if it's in there.
That's right. That's right. I agree. Yeah. I mean, he, you know, hopefully that's going to be the goal. There's no doubt about it for this season. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. Grizzlies back in action last night in the second round of the NBA draft. They selected West Virginia guard Javon Small at 48 overall. Great, tough player. You know, I think kind of a surprise that they went that way, you know, with everything they have on the roster. But, you know, it just fits with what they're doing, Jason.
Some have said, and you and I have sort of said why, but there have been plenty of smart people on the Grizzlies that have said they need another ball handler.
Yeah.
Whether it's Scottie Pippen's issues with turnovers or you're going to move him more to a scoring role in terms of off the bench, that you needed another one of these guys. Clearly, they felt like that was a need.
Yep.
You and I have always looked at it, well, Scottie's your backup point guard. But, again, he showed us in the playoffs. You know, and you keep going back to it. What was it, the 30-point game against OKC?
Yeah.
I mean, Scottie has shown, again, a penchant, not just to be a scorer, but a defender and everything else. Taking care of the ball has been one of his issues. This guy comes in, can give you a little bit of insurance there.
Yep.
I'm not sure how much we're talking about rotation here and in the game, because I still think it's what we said, John. You know, Scottie can primarily be your backup. And then once you get to the playoffs, you know, how many backup point guards do you need?
Right.
And so we'll see how he fits. Was listening to Harrington this morning. He expects him to be on one of the two ways. Makes some sense. But I'm not going to sit up here and tell you I got high hopes.
Right.
You know, or that I expect him to be in the rotation in a year and a half or this season at some point. No.
Yeah.
Looks like, you know, another ball handler in the fold.
Yes. And like, he gets the speculation he gets a two-way.
He'll get one of the three two-way.
Yeah. But tough guard, tough player. That's been their MO. They are looking for dogs. That is what Zach Kleiman talked about at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That is what they are going for, like one trait above them all, it feels like, which is toughness.
I mean, is that what OKC has? That's what you tell yourself, right? Don't they have a bunch of dogs?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that? They're not just a bunch of front runners that just get in front of a camera, right? They're dogs defensively.
That's right.
That's what the whole league is trying to do.
Yes.
And this isn't some new formula Zach's found, so it makes a lot of sense here.
Yes.
And you lost that.
You did.
You used to sort of be that.
That's right.
You lost it last year.
That's right. And you could even, you know, argue, yeah, Dylan Brooks brought that. You
sure,
traded him away.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Marcus Smart, you wanted to be
that's right.
some of that.
You're trying to reclaim it. And so I think, you know, that's the idea. And then at 59, I mean, that's all that is with Jamai Meshack. Tennessee wing, big. He's an undersized. Like, he's not really a big, but he guarded bigs at times last year in the SEC. Like, he could guard everything. Very, very versatile in that regard. But that's literally, like, he averaged 4 points a game. I mean, that's he has basically no offense. He's all energy, all defense, all hustle. And that won Tennessee a lot of games, you know, with that ability. Now, whether it will translate to the league, that remains to be seen. But, like, if you pulled Zach Kleiman aside and, like, hey, why did you draft Jamai Meshack, Mr. Irrelevant? Because he's a dog. I mean, that's what he is, man. Yeah. That's his position on the court, D-O-G.
My only thing is you look at the teams that made runs, look at the teams that made it deep in the playoffs. Where are the Meshacks, excuse me, whatever pronunciation, where are they in the rotation? Dogs that defensively can go out there and do something. But if you can't knock down a three.
You're right.
I mean, look at even like Obi Toppin, who's become more of an offensive player. I know I'm going way high there.
Yeah.
But my point is you don't see just defensive role players.
That's right.
Who's that guy on OKC that can't?
I mean, because Caruso, you know, can make threes.
They all can. Yeah. Seems like even, I mean, they all do. At some point, you're going to need it. So I don't know that you can play or be part of a playoff rotation.
No, you're right.
As just this one dimensional. Maybe he can get it.
Yeah.
He's a dog. It fits that part. But this is a dog with no offense.
It is. That's exactly right.
So how it fits in, we'll see. Maybe he's competing with Pullen. I heard Harrington on that for one of the two ways. Maybe you pit those two against each other.
Yep, you throw him out there in summer league and
keep one open.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you save it. Huff was out, you know, off of another summer league team. They filled that one, kept one open. Maybe you do that again.
Yep.
And you give Pullen and Meshack.
Yeah.
A chance to compete for one. You keep Small on the other one, right?
Yes.
That's the way you do it.
That's exactly
makes a lot of sense there.
It's weird because, you know,
you used all these picks.
As part of my, you know, job during the college basketball season with Field of 68, I mean, depending on when I'm on, sometimes I will get a chance to talk to a player. On March 1st, I was doing After Dark that night, and that's the night that Jamai Meshack hit the game-winning buzzer beater half court against Alabama.
I remember that.
And honestly, that wasn't just the only thing he did. He got fouled on a rebound attempt under a minute left in the double bonus, made both free throws. He tied up LeBaron Filon on a layup attempt with like 15 seconds left with the game tied. And then he forced a five-second violation with his defense on Mark Sears. All of that, I mean, you can go find it. You can go watch it. Like, honestly, that's probably why they drafted him, that 30-second sequence. And I got a chance to ask him about his career at Tennessee. He stayed there all 4 years. He came in through the transfer portal, through the NIL. His role changed throughout the year. Some years he started, some years he didn't. But he never left. And he's not from Tennessee, bro. He's from California. Like, he was exactly the kind of guy that might transfer, you know, and go somewhere else. I'm not starting my role. I used to be this, now I'm this. Mm-hmm. But he stayed all 4 years. He was making huge plays. And this is just a taste of the kind of kid and the kind of character that the Grizzlies drafted at 59. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you think.
There you go. I mean, I loved his confidence, man. Like, and that's probably, I assumed he had a great interview with the Grizzlies because he's a good salesman. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great salesman. But I mean, I think that is what he, like, I can defend point. I can defend the two, the three, the four. You know, again, the biggest thing for him is just going to be, is your offense going to get up to speed? And if it doesn't, then there's not going to be a spot for it.
35% from the 3-point line. I mean, shows that there's something there.
Exactly.
To be there is some clay there to mold, and maybe you can even get it to a point where it's he is a knockdown 3-and-D guy.
Exactly.
Maybe it's there to be done. Couple of things. You changed your voice, much like Karl Anthony Towns. It was much deeper. I thought I'd address that with you.
I think
that a cold, or was it?
Yeah,
was
like that's in the winter.
Because
that's March 1st.
There was a definitely active change.
Yeah, I think that first, was definitely, I was dealing with a cold.
That struck me first. I kind of like it. I kind of like you a little lower there. You might want to think about, you know,
I can't do that.
Like, I mean, maybe just because I'm here, you don't do it, but I heard it there. It sounded pretty good and pretty professional. Clearly, he loved your question, the way it was coming off your lips and the tone of it.
I think it's just an illness situation.
Said
that.
He said, thank you.
You know, I like to get sick.
Very well done, very well asked. Here's my thing on him. Man, between him and Coward, boy, they sound like a couple of CEOs, don't they? Sound like a couple of guys you'd probably invest
like
if they
the
were
Red Lobster CEO.
Starting a company. If they were on Shark Tank, I'd give them all my money. You know what I'm saying? Because they're guys that clearly are willing to do everything, the dirty work, whatever else, wait their turn, let other guys shine. That's certainly been the case with your man, Jemai.
Yes.
Jemai Mayshak.
That's it.
Now I'm gonna, you know, now I want this guy to stick.
I do love him.
And
I do love
of this
character.
Interview that you've done with him.
I can't
and just
stand the school, but
the job that you did with him. Can you put that to the side for a moment? Just his Vols.
Barely.
You know, the fact that he stayed, how loyal he was to Orange. You're going to have to if you're going to love this guy. I can tell the way that you want to.
Yeah.
I can sense a Curtis Givens type love here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean, that's a very deep, you know, that's
family.
That's Memphis.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. And that's unfair of me.
Yeah.
Because one's home.
That's right.
Right.
And like Memphis.
And then
kid,
one's Orange that you're kind of like,
right.
You know what? I'll, you know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm going to hold that against him.
Right. Right.
But I
so
can,
unfair
I
of
can
me
move past it, but I'm going to hold it against him. You know, that's it's going to be like the initial. So
right. I like the defensive versatility,
but yeah,
fact,
like,
the willingness to do whatever he needs.
Exactly. And, you know, staying at a school for 4 years, even if it is Tennessee, through role changing and things like that, like, I think it's a big plus. It's a big bonus for, you know, for him.
Says
and
commitment.
I think it shows he's willing to work hard, and that's why, like, I'm betting on him getting it two-way. Like, if you ask me today, does he get it, I'd say he gets it because he's going to work his ass off to get it. And, you know, I would bet on a guy like that every time. Going out to Vegas, Utah, he'll have a great, you know,
you'll be pulling for him over Zion Pullen.
I have no
in that one-on-one battle for Tua.
I have no feelings about Zion Pullen. I know some people like him. You know,
yeah. Don't
I,
we have some?
I do. I think we have some Pullen people.
He's got a group already.
I think he does.
A little cult.
But you know, a lot of people have had cult through the years here, and very rarely do those cults like end up producing anything. There was a Marshawn Brooks cult.
Mm.
I mean, that was a joke. Mm. There was a Kenneth Lofton Jr. cult.
Mm-hmm.
People loved him. People thought Kenneth Lofton Jr. was like literally Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
And is he even playing? Is he anywhere? I don't think he's anywhere. So,
Lofton? I think he was playing in China or Korea last year.
China.
I think he was like an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't count, though. You know, China.
Well, more recently, hasn't there been a Lamar Stevens group?
Oh, God.
Wasn't there a small group of
them?
What? That Didn't we like Lamar Stevens for a minute and when it was really rough around here?
I mean, that really was
rough.
I'm
telling you, that's when, you know, things started.
Gigi has a cult. Gigi has a cult.
Now, that's dead. He's on. Come on.
I think he has a cult. I do.
Jalen Wells has a cult.
He's clearly got a cult. He's got, what I'm saying, Gigi got more than a cult. He's kind of graduated from the small group.
I think we have to put him back in, though.
I mean, the man got a standard contract, folks, that say, you know, this man hits 7 threes in a game.
Yeah. Jalen Wells, I mean, Jalen Wells just graduated to me. Jalen Wells started.
Graduated.
Yeah.
He's not in this group that's trying to prove it.
Right. Gigi was out of the cult, and now we're back.
Gigi back in.
Yeah, because he didn't show anything last year.
100%. He didn't show anything. I would say he regressed.
And people would say, he's only 20. I know. I get it.
But he's had some games in games. While they didn't mean anything, these guys, not all of them, have had games like him.
Yeah, if he has a game that means something, I'll say, okay, like it's there. But he didn't do it last year.
It's perfectly fair to say he regressed last season. He did.
That doesn't
especially
mean it's
from
over.
A professional standpoint.
And now you drafted. You know who's he? He's gonna have to play in front of somebody.
Well, let's see your commitment level. Let's see it more like what guys like Meshack and those folks say they're willing to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the thing about a guy like Gigi Jackson. It's not always gonna go, you know, so well. It's not always gonna be a dream like it was that first year for you when you got a chance to play and you're on you're on there with Shaq and everything else and getting interviewed.
Exactly.
You're on a team where there's levels to this, and even coming back in with the contract.
Yep.
And especially, I mean, let's be real, he was set behind because of the injury.
That's right.
That certainly hurt him or stunted his potential early growth there in that next year.
Yep.
You just, you know, he's gotta understand, man. Might be turns to this. Yours might not come here, but
that's
what you gotta do every time you gotta go that you get a chance is act like it.
Yep.
You know, you got to act like TJ McConnell, basically, like this your last go until you've earned it.
Yep.
He has not and doesn't seem like he's gotten to a point, you know, where he's understood that during the season. We'll see if he does this year.
Absolutely. All right, lots more to come. We're going to talk to Anthony Saint about what the Grizzlies did, get his thoughts on the draft and next season and moves. There were some interesting betting odds put out there today from BetOnline, and I like to use BetOnline because it's a real book. Like, it's they take money on these bets. They don't just put them out there for show. Like, they'll actually take money. And there's a certain player that's a favorite of this show that is linked to the Grizzlies very heavily. So we'll get into all that today on the show. Stick around. Jason and John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Turn to FM, ESPN.
Anthony Sane is the esteemed, talented host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every day, 2 p.m. Make sure you're checking him out. Underground King of Memphis Sports Media, Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032's multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. You can follow Sane on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us now like he joins us every Friday around this time. Brother Sane, how are you?
Man, I'm good, man. I hear you raving about Gabe. Gabe has been doing football training this summer so far. I hear you raving about Gabe and all that type of stuff, but let's not forget about who may be already on John Wallace's top 10 players for that season as far as basketball is concerned, with young C.J. Smith, who might be – he might be the next great shooting guard coming out of Memphis for sure.
Bro, I'm trying not to become LeVar. I am trying not to become T, but I am very excited. A little Chris
bro,
continues
I,
to work
I've already,
hard.
Yep. I've already warned all y'all. I will be the first ever crazy parent for a non-skilled position football player in the city. you'll never see anybody as hyped over offensive lineman as I'll be for Gabe if, bro, if he is being that dude.
Bro, tell them about – you may have touched on this with us before, but you at one of Gabe's soccer games, you should have seen this man, John. This man as a daddy – is the best hype man ever. He's the dad you want because he's gonna be your hype man. What you had the Zeus? What do you call that thing? The Vuvuzela?
The Vuvuzela.
Man,
yeah,
that man
had
is
the
out
Vuvuzela.
There. Had the whole 901 FC feel at Gabe's soccer game. Tell him how them private school parents looking at you all kind of crazy. Tell the truth.
Hey, you know I didn't care. You know I didn't care at all.
I know that's my love. That's you showing
exactly.
up. You showing up and showing out.
You
man.
Showing them the way to do it. Sane.
Yeah. I was. Not sitting – well, you know there aren't really seats. You got to bring your own seat or whatever into the soccer game. So I'm standing, like, right across from Gabe horizontally, and he's in the – he's the goalie. So I'm standing right by him because Gabe's the type of kid he'll – he kind of struggles with if he makes a bad play, he'll let it linger.
Yeah.
So I was there. Kids. Every time he scored a goal, I was like, nah, forget that. Throw that out of there. Let's move on to the next play. And every time he made a big play, I'm blowing the horn for
best
sure.
Best dad ever.
And he had a penalty kick when some kid got a penalty. So it was, you know, one-on-one Gabe versus the kid. And Gabe got the stop, man. You would have thought we won the World Cup the way I was running up and down the field, hyping them up. But it's you only get one opportunity, man, to cheer on your kids. I don't want to look back in life and say I wasn't able to make my kid feel like he's the best in the world, man. So, yeah, I do it big. And I pulled out the Vuvuzela football games, too. And they got mad at that one, too. We was at what school were we at? I can't remember what school we went to. But they were mad because I pulled that joint out there. But, hey, they'll be all right, bro, for sure.
Bro, 1,000% on what you just said, a word right there about you only get one chance to support your kid like that. So, I'm right there with you. This is the way we're going to do it, man, and make our kids feel like superstars. All right, what do you think overall, Grizz draft, go?
What these guys are going to be on the court, and mainly what this guy Cedric Coward, what he's going to be on the court, it's all to be determined. Like, I'm not going to pretend I know anything about this dude. When it comes down to the draft, I call my friends who know about the draft, and that's Chip Williams, and I call my guy who knows about college basketball, and that's John Martin. And I called both of them at 10 o'clock at night, you know what I mean, to see what they thought about these guys, because I heard y'all talking about Coward the other day. And if you're just looking at the tools, you're looking at, you know, the measurables and all those type of things, he looks like he's going to be a heck of a player. The mentality, the interviews, all these type of things, the comps. I know the comps are absolutely crazy because, I mean, we drafted Michael Jordan, man. How can you not get excited about Michael Jordan playing for the Grizzlies?
For real.
So I'm excited about that. But what I'm most excited about, man, is Zach Kleiman having the gumption to go do what he needed to do, bro. Like, he didn't want Franz Wagner and settle for Zaire Williams, you know what I mean? He didn't want Donovan Klingon. He didn't shoot for Donovan Klingon and landed on Zach Edey. He went and got his guy, you know what I mean? This was the guy he wanted. He did what he had to do. He realized, okay, I've got San Antonio and Oklahoma City in front of me. That guy I want is not getting past those two. There's no way he's getting past those two guys. So let me do what I need to do regardless to get up to above those two teams to go grab the guy I want to go get at number 11. And as far as what went out, if this kid's good, nobody cares. Like, nobody will care what the Grizzlies did to go get Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? So, I don't really care what they sent out. They made the Desmond Bane trade, which gave them the assets to do that move, as well as other moves they can do as well in the future. So, I don't – and I like what he said as well, man. Like, when people said, you know, do you have any concern about giving up too much? And he said, no, I would have a concern about not giving up enough to go get the guy I want. Right. Like, that was one of the best things I've ever heard Zach Kleiman say, bro.
He was like yeah, he said it would be more of a gamble if we didn't go get him.
If we didn't, Yeah. So, like I said, that was one of the best things he's ever said, like, literally since he's been here.
Right.
And like I said, if this is your guy, you believe in him, and I know they're going to give him every opportunity in the world to be who they think he can be. If he can answer the call, man, it's going to make Zach Kleiman look great. And, you know, he's been great. He's made the right call on guys before, many guys before. And you know, Desmond Bane was a guy that was taken, you know, 30th in the draft or whatever, 29th or whatever. And he ended up being, you know, a long-time starter, one of the better shooting guards in the league. And if they believe in this kid and he pans out, you know, it'll be a success. But that's all to be determined. I'm hyped about it. I think he's going to pan out. I love to hear this kid say anything. Just put a mic to his mouth and let him go. He's a tremendous interview. And he's a guy who seemed – he said he wanted to be here. Before he got here, he said this is one of his target teams he would love to play for. So I'm excited about what this young man can be for the team.
Yeah, I mean, I just like, you know, it's like, you know, stand on your, you know, business. I mean, there's accountability with that. It's like, all right, you love this guy. It's not like, all right, we're just going to sit here and take this pick because we have to. It's like you identify, and if you're right, you'll get the flowers and you'll get the extension. Yeah. And if you're wrong, you'll be out of a job.
And I'm the type of guy, you know me, I'm an F them picks dude. Like, I'm in a situation where, you know, if you can go get a proven player, go get him. But when you have an opportunity where you're in the top half of the draft, like, and you're in that category, and you're able to go get a guy who people are praising the way this guy is and has not only the runway this kid has, but this kid is shown to be a good player now. Like, he only played 6 games in college basketball last season, but he looked hella dominant in the 6 games he played, right? Yeah. And if he had kept up that pace, he definitely would not have been a guy we couldn't have gotten at 11. You know, if he had kept up the pace he was going at to start the season, you're talking about a number 2, number 3 pick in the draft with the type of production this kid was putting up. You're talking about a guy that was averaging 18 points a game, 40% from 3, I think 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Hey, I don't know who you want to comp him to, but those numbers are nasty in college basketball. So if that's a guy that you're talking about, he would not have been there at 11. So if you're getting a guy like that, if you think he's half of what he could pan out to be, go get your guy if that's your guy.
Tell me this: greater need, was it in terms of what you could have done with these picks? Was it getting another ball handler in there? Saying, because John and I were having a little bit. You know, we've had a lot of people say the Grizzlies need another ball handler. Maybe Pippen's more in terms of a scoring role next season. I want to get your take there. Or, you know, they didn't use it on a big, which some said, hey, if you're going to get a young player, go get a big too, because you could use some reinforcements there. What did you think about going for the ball handler rather than the big in the draft?
You're talking about first round or second?
Second round. I'm on. I apologize. I moved on to second round.
Sorry, we're moving on from Michael, Magic, Kawhi, Dennis Rodman, et cetera.
I think that if you're trying to get a guy who can hold down the fort while Zach Edey is gone, it needs to be a guy who's got some NBA experience. I don't think you want to get another rookie.
A rookie big.
Yeah. Yes, I think you get somebody who you bring him in. He could be a guy. Then when you get into the – let's say you get a guy – I'm not going to throw a name out. Let's say you go get a guy that's an NBA vet, right? This is a guy who – you need to get somebody that can start at center until Zach gets back.
Luke Kornet.
And then when Zach's – right, yeah. Then when Zach gets back, you make the decision, okay, do I want to roll with this guy or do I want to roll with Zach? You need a guy who's able to do both, where he wants – if you can bring him off the bench or start him, he could be that dude. Or when you get to the playoffs, you can be like, okay, well, let me roll. I might need to roll with this guy for certain matchups in the playoffs, or this guy might be a guy who will be okay coming off the bench. You need to get a guy who can play both roles. And I don't think that's something you're going to find in the second round of the draft.
I'm with you.
I don't really know who really went in the second round. I don't think there are any guys that come off as the super mature, you know, NBA-ready guys. Something about Edey, you know, he was a guy that was a 4-year player, had, you know, pretty mature kid, physically mature. So you could see him being an NBA starter if you fast-track him. The Grizzlies didn't do a good job of fast-tracking him, getting him ready for the end of the season. That's a whole other discussion that we had last year, but yeah. I don't think that's other routes you can go in either free agency or trades that you could get other names here other than trying to, you know, mining for gold or mining for diamonds in the second round of the draft.
I'm with it. Address it through free agency. Let them start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems as though you like the idea of the Mayshak selection. I don't know. I mean, I'm rooting for the kid. I don't, you know, we'll see how it looks on the – I like some of the things that he brings on paper. You know, I mean, he was glue for that Tennessee team. You know, yeah. He defended lots of different positions. You know, he talked about playing point guard when Zakai was out. Like, you know, it seems like the Grizz have a clear vision with the picks that they've made that you got to bring – you got to be an absolute dog and be willing to get into a street fight in a basketball game if you're going to play on this team.
We joke about David Thorpe, right, and what he said about the comps he made for Cedric Coward, right? But something else he said in an interview yesterday was that he was like, they were asking, what should a team go after in the second round? And he said flat out, guys who can defend the ball. Like, just go get – if you can find a guy in the second round, that's something that's 100% translatable to the NBA. If you got a guy – if you can find guys in the second round that can flat out defend, go get those guys. He said, because you know what? The NBA champions, they got like 8 of them. And that's true, man. Like, the Thunder just throw waves of guys that are just high-level defenders at you. You think you hear the whistle blow, it's a timeout. You see Lou Dort leave the game, and you're like, oh, man, no more Lou Dort. And here comes Cason Wallace. And here comes – Aaron Wiggins, you know, it's just throwing all these versatile defenders at you, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that strategy. I love what the Grizzlies went out and got. They went out and got guys who have a skill that is 100% translatable to the NBA. It's being guys that are good on-ball defenders. And those guys are both tough as nails. And if anything, I'll talk about this on my show as well. If anything, you've got two guys, they're going to make training camp super competitive. You know what I mean? You let two dogs left loose in a room and stuff goes wild. Everybody knows that, right? So if you throw those two guys in the training camp environment and see what happens, they're going to raise the level of competition and just kind of push other guys, even if they're not guys who are going to be part of your rotation or even part of your roster at all.
We discussed it, just to go back to Kyle real quick, because you mentioned it, Summer League, if he's not available because of the shoulder, how much that concern you? I mean, we do seem to have an issue with, you know, getting our rookies out there.
Yeah. Y'all hit the nail on the head, man. Michael Jordan did not play in the summer league, bro. Kobe Bryant did not play in the summer league. If Kawhi Leonard played, I don't remember. He might have did, you know. No, but all jokes aside, though, man, I'm not really concerned
about
that.
Not worried about the
show. If that kid's – John Morant didn't play in the summer league. If that guy's – if he's ready to play by the time camp comes going or ready to play when the season starts, just, especially the camp, I really think he needs to be a part of training camp. That's all I'm really worried about. Zach Giddey played in the summer league and messed his ankle up, and he's had that lingering issue the whole season. So I don't really care whether he plays. Part of me would love to see him go out there, especially if he can go out there and look dominant, but I'm not really concerned about that. But I'm thinking that the likelihood of him playing is pretty high, though.
I hope so. Zach was a little wordy. I think, not to interrupt, to validate why I'm asking, I think Zach was a little wordy, John and I thought, about the injury, climbing, when asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of go, oh, but, you know, instead of just, well, we think he'll be ready and certainly by training camp. So that's why the antenna went up. Just wanted to see where you were at on it.
He says he's ready for basketball. He hasn't started contact yet.
Contact,
I think he's just trying to clear him for that. But I think, I'm not really concerned about that. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I just, the only thing I worry about is that, like,
I just got PTSD from, you know, Grizzly.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Y'all have to excuse
decades
me.
Decades of that, you know, type of stuff. You remember we had that run where Chris Wallace was, like, constantly drafting dudes that were hurt? Like, it was almost by default everybody that was going to be hurt. Also, man, before y'all go to the next question, I want to make sure I put this out there. Washington State head coach David Riley is going to be on my show today at 2 o'clock. He was Cedric Coward's coach at both schools, at Eastern Washington and at Washington State. So he can definitely tell you everything you need to know. He's going to be on my show today at 2 p.m.
That's a great get, bro.
So he'll be the Grizzlies coach here soon, right?
Right.
I mean, that man just
– Got to bring Michael Jordan's coach.
Using Cedric Coward. Cedric Coward got that man a job at Washington State, man. That's amazing.
Right. Exactly,
good for him.
Exactly, bro.
I mean, that's what you should do. If you got a guy like that, you should leverage it for sure. That's the only thing I worry about, saying with Cedric, is that, like – Let's let the cake bake a little bit, bro. Like, and I'm not blaming fans for being fans. You know, I'm really not. Like, it's good to be excited about things, but like, I kind of am blaming David Thorpe on this. like to sort of liberally throw out Kobe and Michael Jordan, you know, like maybe he will be that, but like to talk about somebody like you, that's just like, it feels like that should be off limits. I'm sorry. It just feels like it should be, it's like comparing somebody to LeBron James. It just feels
I think that as fans, we're just kind of letting that go over our head. We're kind of laughing at it and moving on.
Okay.
I think that what is appealing to us the most is Memphis loves an unconventional underground like story. Like, you know what I mean? And that guy's story is absolutely amazing, man. You're talking about a kid in 2025 who doesn't have the AAU pass. He played small level AAU. Didn't have the NIL money pass. You know, he got the offer from Duke. He never saw a penny of that. Didn't play for the big school. Didn't come in highly heralded. You know, we love the guys who wear the number zero because they were unknown. Like, we love those guys' story, man. If this guy pans out, this is the type of guy that I hate to go here with it, man, but with all the negativity that has came over our city in the last couple of weeks, whether it be implied or just nonsense rhetoric that you're hearing about the city, to see a kid who looks like he could really be a bright light for this franchise going forward, man, it's absolutely amazing. A kid who's that intelligent, just a great speaker, looks like he's got great leadership skills, a guy who comes in looking like all he wants to do is be great at basketball. That kid has the opportunity to be an amazing story for this city. So I'm pulling for it for that reason. The David Thorpe comps they're cool. I mean, could he be a guy who's athletically comparable to some of the great players like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kawhi Leonard? Yes. I mean, if you watch this kid's highlights, he looks like Kawhi Leonard on the court. You can see some Michael Jordan in his game. You see some Kobe in his game. But I don't think anybody thinks he's going to be that level of player. But I do think if he could be a remarkable player for the Grizzlies. And that's something you can see as early as the first couple months of the season.
A lot of that negativity that you just spoke of from a couple of weeks ago emanated from, Stephen A. Smith and talking about what players like Jimmy Butler say about Memphis and its crime issues or whatever else. I'm curious, saying now that we know at some point he's coming, and who knows, I haven't monitored it since he said it. Maybe he's already come and gone and we just don't know it, but I'm assuming he's still coming. I asked Benson a similar question this week. I'm curious what you would say. And maybe, you know, it's probably real trendy, and you could say it and we could dismiss it, just say, who cares what Stephen A. thinks? But I've also thought that if Paul Young and the Chamber of Commerce, the president there, everybody thinks, you know, there is some value, it feels like, in educating Stephen A. on how important the Grizzlies are to the city, how the city's also working on its issues, but for this, not just so Stephen A. knows, but so in those conversations with Jimmy next time, maybe rather than taking Jimmy's word, right, he's telling some guys, you know what, in Memphis, man, when you're a player there, you actually get some protections, they treat their guys great, and so it's valuable from that standpoint. So I'm just curious, from that vein, where you would take Stephen A., where you'd sit him down, talk to him about all that, right? About how much the Grizzlies mean to Memphis and how much the city is working on those issues, how this can be and is a special place for the NBA.
I would take him right inside that arena on Beale Street, man, and point him to the retired numbers of Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. You know what I mean? Two guys who some get it out the mud dudes, two guys that would not be on anybody else's anybody else's retired numbers list. Two guys that just meant a lot to the city and how they reflected those things. Hell, those guys still call Memphis home. Those guys are still residents of Memphis.
That's right.
I know Zach has other homes, all those type of things, but Zach is always here. Tony, you know, lives here. You know what I mean? So those type of things, that's where I would start. And I would show him, you know, the neighborhood around FedEx Forum and how there's a lot of hope there and there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of changes, you know what I mean? Because one of the main things a lot of the players, the former players or current players are saying, like the Kenyon Martins of the world, is that, no other city has an arena where this right there in the hood where the guys are.
Right.
I'm like, man, like, come on, bro. Like, actually take him around that neighborhood so you can see. There is some blight. There is some bad things in that neighborhood. But that area is also full of life as well, man. Absolutely. And just Memphis is a city full of soul, full of character, full of great people. Just kind of take him around. Let the brother get something to eat. You know, all those. Take him on Bill. Let him hear some live music, all that type of stuff. So many cool. Take him to the Civil Rights Museum. Yeah. All those things that kind of show you the history of Memphis, good and bad, man. You know what I mean? So if you're going to make a PR deal out of it, like it's obviously what this is about to be, this is going to be one big PR thing they're doing with Stephen A. Smith. I mean, which is cool. Those things have their place. But like y'all, you guys know, I love Memphis. I stomp for Memphis at all times. So Yeah, we'll be okay, man. But if they decide to go their route, yeah, that's probably where I start.
All right, so as we are sort of the dust is settling. I don't know if it's settled, but it is settling. When you take into account everything that's happened in the West, you know, what the Suns are doing, what the Rockets have done, what the Spurs have added, et cetera, what the Grizz have done. Where does this all shake out, man? Where are the Grizzlies in the mix with all of this? Like, what is the most likely scenario for them next season?
I kind of think they're in that same place that they were starting off last year, where they're a team that could be anywhere between, you know, 2-6. OKC is ahead of everybody in the West. But as far as being, you know, in that top non-playing mode, I think they're in that place. And where they are in that place, as we saw this year, can change from Monday to Friday. You know what I mean? It changes. It can change a lot. And it can change fast. I think they're going to be a good team next year, there, man. Though with the stuff that the direction looked like they're going in, I think they're two guys away for really having a stabilized roster. This roster lacked a lot of stability last year, with guys like GG and Vince being out, starting out the season, implementing Zach Edey, Marcus Smart being out to start the season, and then getting him back, and he's not really ready, and Ja having the injuries, and new offense, new assistant coaches, all those type of things. It was just too much turmoil going on in the season, and it pretty much came to a head with, you know, Taylor Jenkins getting fired with 9 games left, and trying to salvage whatever you're going to do, you know, for the rest of the season. It got pretty wild with those type of things. But this roster and this organization just needs stability. And I think that's the key part. And I think once that happens, you're going to see a good Grizzlies team. Because all you're looking at is just another vet wing that can be either a starter or come off the bench and a big. And I think you're fine. I think the roster outside of that is going to be good. The question marks about what you do with Santi, are you able to get under a certain threshold to extend Jaren? Those are still things lingering as well. But I think it's going to be a very fun offseason that we kicked off. We started off with the Desmond Bane trade, so let's see if we can keep that going.
Will you be a Desmond Bane fan of his time down in Orlando? And what of that Orlando team? We haven't talked to you since that trade, since it opened everything up for the Grizzlies on this side of the flexibility. But for Bane, for Orlando, what they've done in the draft, what do you think of what they are and what feels like a wide-open East next year?
I don't do the cheering for guys that don't play for my team anymore.
I hear you.
I'm a Memphis Grizzlies fan. I don't have any association with these dudes outside of they play for Memphis. Like I don't care, bro.
You would agree, Bang, good dude, community dude, and
yeah,
all that. Like,
yeah,
but it's not all about all that for you.
Like, yeah,
not,
I'm not pulling for them. Like,
once they're gone, they're gone. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, if Orlando goes to the finals, I'm not pulling for the Orlando Magic because Bane is on the team. Like I don't like people like wanted me to do that with Mark and wanted me to do that with Mike. I'm like, bro, I don't care about that. Like, I'm a Grizzlies fan, bro. Like, I don't care about who these dudes play for. I'm not cheering for them teams. But, I don't care about that. But they're going to be good, though. My whole thing with that Bane thing is, like, they really went all in, and they went overkill, in my opinion. Because I'm like, yeah, they needed shooting. But you got a guy that's making, like, $40 million a year to be a shooter. And you gave out pretty much 5 first-round picks for it. Like, they're – seems like it could have been other methods they could have went about to add multiple shooters in that team, because one shooter is not going to solve a shooting problem on the team. So it seems like I don't really like the way they went about that, because that's not really – I don't really see examples of how that works, because if you got one shooter, you might as well not have none, because teams are just going to capitalize on stopping at one guy. So we'll see how that works. I think they're going to be really good. I'm not trying to downplay any of that, because Dez is a hell of a player. They'll be really good with him on that team. But yeah, the East is so up for grabs, like you said. I think any team can jump up and get into that top tier, especially with the Pacers being out, probably being out with Haliburton being out for the year, pretty much. But I don't knock what they're doing at all. I think they're gonna be that's the team I kind of pull for anyway. If you're in Memphis, man, you've got some piece of Orlando is in your heart anyway, because you were a Penny fan. So I think they'll be fine for sure.
All right, before we get you out of here, let me ask you about this Ace Bailey situation. Our man Raheem Palmer just had he absolutely napalm take. I feel like I'm putting you in a spot. But he may or may not report to Utah. They selected him.
That's
anyway.
For real?
Well, I mean, he's not on, you know, I mean, Windhorse reported they hope he's there by Monday. They don't know that he will be there by Monday.
Yeah.
Just what's your assessment of all of that?
I thought I heard that he said that he was happy there. That wasn't true.
He told Marcus Spears after the draft that he had no idea they were interested in him. It sounded like we were getting his reel as opposed to just in front of the cameras. And the fact
all he ever said was, "I control what I can control." Like, he never said, "I'm ready to get to work and get out to the Salt Lake." Like, he never gave us that.
And the fact that they still don't know, saying when he's coming in, that's what Bontemps and them were saying. Give it a day or two, but if we're still talking about this in another day in Utah and squash it, they got a problem on their hands.
Man, we went through that with Antonio Daniels it wasn't the Memphis Grizzlies, but the Vancouver Grizzlies had to deal with that.
Didn't Ricky Rubio say he was never going to come to it's not a new thing, right? Like,
yeah,
the guy if he tells you he doesn't want to come there. You don't draft him.
That kid's kind of flighty though, bro. Like he's kind of got some weird. I hate to say red flags, but he's got some things that you kind of want to keep an eye on with him, man. Like he's kind of a. He kind of gives me Gigi a little bit. I don't know if that's what y'all see, but like his game and his kind of like his maturity level kind of gives Gigi to me a little bit. But hey, I wouldn't wish that on. I wouldn't rather wish that on nobody but Utah and Danny Ainge, in my opinion. That's what they did. Cause I was thinking, where is this kid gonna go? And then when I saw Utah draft him, I said, yeah, of course Danny Ainge drafted him. He's, this is the guy who coveted Tatum, KD. Paul George, like he loves the big, larger-than-life wings, right? So, yeah. Not surprised that he went there. But that whole thing is kind of crazy. I didn't know that. I didn't know that it even happened. That's something you definitely have to keep an eye on for sure to see how that plays out, because that can get ugly, man, for sure. Somebody said that the Ace Bailey is who people thought Shedeur Sanders is, but. His punishment was going to Utah or something like that. It was something somebody said, but yeah, for sure, man. But like he's kind of wild the way he's going about managing his stuff. I get it, trying to do things to pick your spot. I mean, Kobe did it, all those type of things. But you got to be very wise and calculated with that. But once you get drafted, bro, you got to go ahead and go.
Yeah, it's $10 million. $10 million.
You got to go ahead and report, man. You can't be doing that type of stuff. That just sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah, Saint, you're the best, man. Thanks for this as always.
Have a great weekend, man. Brother.
Yep.
You too.
Yes, Anthony Saint. Can I tell you what Raheem Palmer said?
By all means, you've teased it.
Our man, Rostradamus. He said that if I'm just passing it along. He said that if Ace Bailey, and if NBA players who are predominantly black men don't want to play in Utah, they should not have a team. That said, Ace should shut up and dribble, put his head down, grind and work his way to a position where he can dictate his future in free agency. If I were Ace, I'd do nothing but focus on basketball and spend my free time flying chicks out and taking hikes, smoking an occasional blunt, and finding peace at Zion National Park.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now that's a strategy.
It's quite a take.
I don't know what's gotten into Raheem out there. I mean, he must be out there at Zion National Park. I don't know if it's about, we don't know what it's about. We don't know if it's about Utah. We don't know if it's about the team. We don't know if it's about, I wanted to go specifically to Washington. We don't know, so it's hard to say.
Right. Exactly.
I think Utah, I know that there have been issues out there.
Absolutely.
Racially charged issues. Yeah, for sure.
I want to say players have talked about barbershops and all that.
Right.
And experience out there is much different.
Yeah.
Much wider, obviously.
It is.
Yeah, we know that. That's not
new. It's not a problem for AJ DeBanson, man.
But what you can't do here is, how many black players they got this year?
Who, Utah?
Yeah.
They got Keontae George, Collier.
Clarkson's been out there and looks to be pretty damn comfortable.
Right.
How long has he been there?
Right. That's interesting. I mean, I don't.
Not that he's some happy dude, but.
No, you've signed a couple contracts.
Brothers, since Karl Malone have, been living in Salt Lake City or whatever, and finding a way. And the most important part is we don't know that's why Bailey doesn't want to be there.
Right.
It might just be because what he thinks of, Austin Ainge or something.
Totally.
Who's new to this, even though he comes from his daddy.
Yeah.
Who did a pretty damn good job for the Celtics. So, and maybe maybe daddy's still making the calls as the consult, whatever he is, consultant,
Colin Sexton's
president,
been out there for a while.
Dude,
they
got plenty of black players. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not. Because, again, them folks got Jordan Clarkson been living out there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe he's blunted up.
He might be.
In terms of dealing with it.
Yeah.
got to get blunted up. That's not an accusation. I'm saying.
No, I mean, it's I mean, we're just responding.
It's a lot of just, whether it's snow or people, right. There's a lot of white out there, right?
That's right.
No.
I mean, it's just.
And I get it.
Look, I not to make this a, but the whites are still the majority in this country, right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.